I'm mad this morning, so don't get me madder. Spurs lost last night. I'm okay. Amen. Didn't they play their hearts out?
Yeah.
Now, what truth? I'm still a Spurs fan. Amen. How about you?
Yeah.
And they should have won, but it's okay. The refs took it away from them, right? I have our guys ready to give out message notes today, bulletins. If you need them, raise your hand. You're going to need them for our service. If you would, check in on your social media devices. I love the scripture that says, if you're ashamed of me on your social media, then I'll be ashamed of you before men, before my Father in heaven. And so that I literally take that to heart, where what a better place to witness than your Facebook, Instagram, your Snapchat, just something of faith and put out there that you're at church, you're serving the Lord. There's a location indicator. You can go ahead and pop that up and say you're at Living Faith Church. Say something of faith that you're in the house of God. It just helps to witness, and it helps you to proclaim, amen, that we need to get the word of God out to people in our generation, amen?
Amen.
So do that with me. A couple of things I need to tell you about on the big screen as it goes up. Ignite is tonight, and if you'll join me at 6 o'clock, Irma and I will be at the Great Church River of Life there, and they're going to put that up shortly, and the address is there. Make sure that you're there. If you will eat at the very beginning, because Christians can do that, right? Christians eat. You got to come. If you're not, if you're going to be part of a church, you're going to eat, right, everybody? So make sure that you bring a side dish or something. You will eat all day. It's Sunday, and that's a good thing. The next slide is going to be First Wednesday. First Wednesday's happening at 6 p.m. At 7 o'clock on Wednesday, we come together as a group of people. We don't do Wednesday night services as usual, but we give the first Wednesday of the Lord back every month. And we come back and offer that to the Lord. We do that in communion. We break bread together. We pray for each other. The worship team, do you ever say, man, I wish they would have sung a little bit longer on Sunday mornings? Do you ever get that feeling? Amen, I do. Well, I'll encourage myself for that. I'll say amen to them because they work real hard. Well, on Sunday, on that Wednesday night, the first week, we let them go. Amen. And they do more songs. They worship songs. Yeah, go ahead. Amen. Someone's going to get you going. And so we worship more because there's not much. The Spurs are out of the playoffs, so we can come back together on Wednesday nights. Amen, everybody. There's not going to be a game. And you get out of here by probably at the latest 8:30. So come and be part of that, and you'll enjoy that. Be that. Finally, there's a National Day of Prayer this coming Thursday. And there's a slide. It was up there. And this coming Thursday, if you'll gather with me at City Hall at noontime, punch in Google, National Day of Prayer at my city. Christians are gathering together at City Hall at noontime on Thursday. Be part of that. So let's welcome our first-time guest. You're here for the very first time. We want to thank you for coming and being part. You're a blessing, and it would be my honor and Irma's honor to shake your hand right at the Welcome Center at the conclusion of our service. And so make sure that you get your welcome card filled out, that Connect card, and you'll get a free gift for that. And we're Living Faith Church, faith that you can see as we gather, grow, and
go.
Amen. Let's welcome live the Facebook audience. Come on. It's a miracle to do that. You'll see your message notes pop up, and you can follow along with us as we do the message together. The theme scripture for this series, the end, is this, and I just found it to be so good. And if it's not on the screen, you're just going to have to hear it till it pops back up. They're doing probably everything they can to get it back up. And it says this in Matthew 24:14, and the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole wide world, amen, throughout the whole earth. And so all the nations will hear it. And then finally, somebody, well, you don't need this, just say, the end will come. Somebody say, the end will come.
The end will come.
Hit your neighbor and say, the end is coming.
The end is coming.
Maybe tell someone else, the end is near. We're all living in our last days, and I've preached about that before, but there is some fascination about this. Have you noticed about the fascination in the media and in movies about the end of the world? Movies are being made about it, right? Hollywood churns out movies and zombie apocalyptic living. It's all about, it shows you the last days. Are we headed towards the road of doomsday? I believe that we are. Everyone, not to put fear into us, but I believe your level of prepness will determine, are you ready for death? Are you ready for eternity? And it will determine how you live on this earth. Life as we know it won't last forever. And so when this world ceases to exist, where are we going to go? What are we going to do? Is there a doomsday survival guide? Yeah, there is. Amen. You've been to the first service and you got the cheat notes. Amen. Of course, there's the Bible. Give me a good amen.
Amen.
And so you have a manual before you that you can hold or put in your phone that you can look at. How do I live in the last days? I want to teach you about that in the next 3 weeks. This is a short series. We'll just do 3 weeks. We'll cover different topics. I'll speak about, well, how will the world end? Will it end in apocalyptic floods, or will it end in an asteroid hitting the earth and causing us to go back to the Stone Age? Will it be seared by the sun? Are we going to be destroyed by aliens? World on other planets? You know, there's this small but reputable group, and this is where I believe how the world will end. And it's you know how cats, they're going to evolve, cats, and they're going to evolve with thumbs, and they're going to kill us all. Amen. I believe that. Yeah. And so, just kidding. Amen. Those that love cats. Amen. But the novice don't. So we're not praying for, no, we, y'all pray for your cats. Amen. But Jesus actually said this about, if we're trying to guess all that, or if we're reading books about the end of the world, he said, no one knows the day or the hour. Only my Father knows. Amen.
Amen.
And so I believe if you find out the right day and you write a book about it, or you write, I'm going to put it out there on Facebook, this is the last day of the earth or the end time. You know what Jesus is going to say? He said, they guessed it. I can't come back on that day. So you're going to withhold the coming of Christ. Amen. So don't do that. Don't buy books like that. Because no one knows the day or the hour except the Father.
Right.
Even Jesus doesn't know. One day he's going to say, son, go get them. They're ready. And we're going to be reunited. So don't try to guess. It's not about that. Well, I really know. You're telling me, I really know the end of the world. I really know. Well, let's bet on it. Pastor, you're going to gamble? Yes, because if you tithe on it, it's a blessing. Amen. If you win, you tithe on it. Yeah, you tithe. But gambling, let's say you know that it's December 22nd. That's the end of the world. Well, let's bet on it. And on December 22nd, if the world doesn't end, then you owe me, right? And if the world does end, then I guess I owe you, but we won't see you either way, right? Because the world's going to end, right? So I'll pay you today. Amen. So I want to cover about today, building a foundation. And is this some kind of weird about Jesus said there's going to be famine at the end of the world. There's going to be pestilence and wars and rumors. Is that kind of weird and bizarre? Yes, it is. It's not normal.
I know.
To see that sort of life, even though everybody's lived in their lifetime about that today. And so the Bible, here's how it's written. There's 66 books in it. And it's written by 40 different authors, all that lived in different time spans, different ages, all had different occupations. Some were lawyers, some were farmers, some were guys that were raised as kings and so forth. But they all had one theme, that there's a Savior coming. And it all pointed back to Jesus. So if you take all those men and women that came together with a Bible and wrote it for us to have in our 66 books, that we have, and they all had one theme, to get them to agree is pretty incredible, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That's why the Bible is the survival manual on how we do life, not only at the end time, but how we do life in marriage, how we live our lives daily today. And so over 20% of the Bible is devoted to Bible prophecy. 20%, that's a big chunk of it. And they say five times as many as the second coming is written about than the first coming. What? He came once? Yeah, Jesus came once, right? That's why we celebrate Christmas and the resurrection and so forth. We celebrate the life of Christ. And that's even on an earthly calendar about Christmas if we want to get really into it today. But Jesus came once, and it was prophesied about in the Old Testament. But five times as much, it's prophesied that he's going to come again. And so if he came once, and it was prophet, and it was true, and it came about, right? He's coming again with five times as much assurance. Amen? And so we know that that's true. And so this week I'll lay a foundation about it. Next week let's talk about the last days. Are we really living in the last days? And there's been some, I believe, misteaching on that I think you're going to be surprised about that. In the final week we'll go into Revelation. And Revelation is meant to be understood. It's not to be confusing or stayed away from. And we'll go through it as a snapshot and look at it. And I'll break it down in bite-sized chunks that you can look at it and say, you know what? Okay, I understand. I want to stay near the Word of God because we're a Bible-believing church. Amen?
Amen?
There are lots of opinions out there, and we love everyone. And I'm not saying we're right and they're wrong, but we're going to stay close to the Word of God. And so there's sincere opinions out there, but let's look sincerely at the Word of God today, right?
Amen.
And so the Thessalonian church, they were living during the early church. And Paul wrote to them a letter because they thought Jesus, again, was going to return at any moment. And that's why the Bible was written, given to us. At any moment, there was anticipation. And so they said, well, if he comes on Monday night and he comes, what about my loved ones that have died? Are they going to rise? Or are they going to stay in the grave and we're going to be caught up? And so Paul wrote 1 Thessalonians as a letter of just correction. And is it on the screen yet? No, 1 Thessalonians 4:13. You can turn to it in your Bibles as we go forward. Brothers and sisters, I want you to know those things, that those that have died. I don't want you to be sad like other people who have no hope. In other words, they're crying. And that's okay. We miss our loved ones. And there's a sincerity about that. And you and I both have lost loved ones. But there comes a point when grieving gets put aside and you say, you know what? I have a blessed hope now, right?
Amen.
You get healed. And so we believe that Jesus died, but we also believe that he rose again. And so we believe that God will raise to life those through Jesus, those that have died, and bring them together when he comes again. Verse 15. And when I tell you this, this is the Lord's own message from the Lord's own mouth, he's saying basically. And those that are still living, when the Lord comes again, in the next 5 minutes, in the next minute if he comes, this is us. We're in church, amen. What a good place to be, right?
Amen.
If the Lord's coming, we'll join him. Not before those that are already dead. In other words, they got a head start again, and we'll talk about that. And the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, and the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet call. And the people that have died that were in Christ will rise first. And after that, we that are still living at that time will be gathered up with those that have died. There'll be a great reunion. Your mother, your father, the aunt and uncle. We'll be taken up to the clouds and we'll meet the Lord in the air. He's waiting for us. And then we'll be together with the Lord forever, right? And it says at the very end, verse 18, so encourage each other with these words, right?
Amen.
And you don't know that because it wasn't. And so there's this encouragement that I have for you when the Bible ends in that passage about this, that we're not to be discouraged. And I've been in many churches when this message is preached about the end or the second coming, and it's almost like you're fearful and you're scared. And if you're not like me, then, you know, thank God for you. But there's been churches I've been at when they preach the end times, and it's like, man, that's going to happen? And it scares me. And the Spirit, and I've always felt checked about that. I don't know about you, like, hey, there's something not right. Because I shouldn't be scared. I should be encouraged, right? And so the Bible ends with this passage, so encourage each other with these words that Jesus is coming back. And so I think all of us in this room should be encouraged about this passage, not that doom and gloom, because of the way we believe and the tribulation process and so forth today. God provides this expectation in believers' heart as you're living for the Lord that you should expect good things and blessings to come to your life. Amen?
Amen.
And so I want to kind of dismantle that in a way if you've come from a place like that, and not to criticize that place, because I came from a place like that and I had to get this teaching that taught me, you know what, I don't have to be scared about the coming of Jesus. There should be some encouragement, some expectation that I'm going to be with the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And there's a mentality about that again. We have a hope as Christians, right, everybody?
Amen.
You can show me the next slide if you can. And hope in Spanish is this word called esperanza, right?
Yeah.
Expect. You're expecting something. And so we have the blessed hope, which is Jesus, right? And they expected him in the Old Testament, the blessed hope, the Redeemer's coming. And so the New Testament is the blessed hope. And hope is a celebration. Faith, remember the big boys? Faith, hope, and love?
That's right.
1 Corinthians 13:13. Faith, hope, and love. And faith is this thing, I can't see it, but I'm hoping. I'm hoping, and my hope is turning into love, and I'm finally going to see the love that I've always expected in my life, and that's God, right? And so faith prays and believes, and it believes in the invisible. One day, we're going to have a clothing closet. And we hope now it's being built, and one day it's going to arrive in a couple of weeks, right? We hope, we have faith that the building will be built. We have hope, and then now we're in the building, amen? Your faith got you to this point today. Just like in your lives as you go on journey, I hope my son, faith is that way. It's a celebration of going forward, and faith is looking over, getting to the fence, and then hope peeks over and said, here it comes. He's coming around the block. He's almost here. He's bringing his reward, and that's what hope does, right, everybody? Amen. And so we hope as Christians today, and hope fills our hearts today. And the first principle would be this about your hope that you have as a Christian today. Number one, the return. Christ is coming
again.
Thank God for one person helping me with that. Get it again, and I'll give you another chance today. Jesus spoke about his return. He spoke about his return. And he said this, if Jesus spoke, it's true. He said, John 14:13. And so if I go, I prepare a place for you, and I will come back. I'm coming back. I'm going to come back, man. I'm coming back. I came once, but I'm going to come back. And I will take you to be with me also where I am at. You will be also, right? In the early church, there were these Christians that that battled against persecution, that survived persecution in caves, and they fled, and some of them died for their faith. A lot of them died for their faith. And so Maranatha, and Maranatha means he's coming again. The Lord is coming. And so when they would see each other struggle, they would embrace each other or hug each other, and they would whisper in each other's, Maranatha, he's coming again. Jesus is coming again. Our Savior's come. Take heart right now. I know it's tough right now. Life is tough. But Maranatha, he's coming again. And that's how they would encourage each other. And so even the Bible speaks of this crown of thorns, the crown that you will get, not of thorns, but you'll get this crown, many crowns that you'll get in heaven if you look forward to his return. If you're anticipating, it's just something that's going to come and you'll get presented to you. I think a lot of us in America don't get that crown because we like it here so much, and this has become our heaven. And it's not nothing we look forward to. And that's kind of tough to say to the American church, but here I am with you in the American church. How about you, right? Amen. And so we look forward to his return. I need to be real upfront with you. I wasn't always looking for the return of Christ and looking forward to it. Y'all need to pray for your pastor. See, there was a time that Irma and I were engaged, and we were like 6 months out our wedding. We were paying for the cake. We were, you know, the band is coming. We got that thing knocked out, the reception. We were, you know, paying for it. But see, we hadn't done the umachaka. We were waiting to do the umachaka. And I wanted to do the umachaka. And y'all are too righteous in this place, amen? And I thought, Lord, give me, just please don't come back right now. Please, dear Jesus. And then after I get married, give me 1 month, Lord, just 1 month. And then after that, you know what I thought? I thought, man, I want to have kids. You know, I said, so Lord, let me see my children. And Andrew and Rebecca came. And now you know what I'm thinking? Some of y'all saying, oh, you want your grandchildren? I can wait on that, amen? Let's go, Jesus. Come back, Jesus. Amen. I'm ready, Lord. Some of y'all are saying, well, there's a different type of love about grandbabies, but we'll see about that. Amen. And thank God. Amen. No babysitting. Amen. Give me a good amen. I'm not going to become an Uber driver for my kid. How about you? Right? No. And so Jesus, you know, thank God. Again, Jesus, please don't come. I don't know where you're at, but we should anticipate and we should desire the return of Christ, right? In Thessalonians, to go back to our passage, 4:14, it says this, we believe that Jesus died, but we also believe that he rose again. We just celebrated Easter. And we believe that God will raise those that are asleep. Some passages say that in translations. That means not the guy that fell asleep on the back row. No, not that guy. But the ones that were raised to life through Christ who have died, and bring them together again with him today. And the Christians that have died. And it's the same word right there that I've underlined about being raised from the dead that I didn't underline, that raised to life, that says this, that Lazarus, when Jesus called him out from the grave in John 11, he said, Lazarus, come forth. It was that rising that when God brings forth the dead, they'll rise and fight. They're going to come forth and rise again. Isn't that good? And so let's look at the next verse in our passage, and it looks like this, and it says this, and 1 Thessalonians 4:16 on the screen. And the Lord himself will come down with a loud command. Somebody say loud command.
Loud command.
And the voice of the archangel and the trumpet call. So there's three components: the loud command, the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet. Amen. So God spoke, and when he spoke in times past, sometimes he whispered. He would whisper, and those that had listened. But this time, it's the greatest victory. And so it demands the greatest voice. And so he speaks out loud. He shouts. And then Michael, the archangel, he says, I'm going to get on this too. And he cries out. And then this trumpet blows. Amen. And so the commanding of that is pretty incredible. It's not going to be a secret like what we saw at the opening video of the people rising. But it's going to be something what's happening, because they're not going to understand. They're not going to understand what's taking place. And it says this, and then the people that have died that were in Christ will rise first. Ain't no grave going to hold this body down. Amen. We're going to rise. Amen. And it, by no means, if those that have died in Christ, our loved ones, they don't have a disadvantage. They're going first. Isn't that incredible? So try to grab their big toe. Amen. So you're right there with them, right? Amen. The dead in Christ will rise first. It says this in your handout today. Why don't you read it with me? You haven't had any fun all day. Revelation 26. Are you there with me?
Amen.
Amen. Two of you. On three. Amen. 50% of you at least. Come on, or we'll come back to this. One, two, three. Blessed and holy are those who have part in the first resurrection. And so my father-in-law, Jose Espejo, my dad, Alejandro Nava, John Sprinkle, Charles Moore, Amai, Napa, you guys, all those that have died, they're going to be part. And so you can be born once and die twice. Did you know that today? Yeah, you can be born once. You're born, the bambino's born. It's a, you know, everybody has the cigars, and for Christians, the bubblegum cigars, right? Amen. But you can die again, and you can die again twice, an eternal death. A physical death, but you don't want to die that way, because somebody else has paid the price for your sins. You want to be born twice and die once. And so, born twice, Jesus told Nicodemus at night in John chapter 3, he said, Nicodemus said, how can I go back into my mother's womb? I'm already an adult. I'm a grown man. How can I fit? He said, no, you'll be born again in spiritual birth. You have a physical birth, and then you'll have a spiritual birth. And so you're born twice, but you die once, right? A physical birth. Then you have a spiritual birth. Amen? And that's where we want to go towards. You ever heard that term that the kids are saying, YOLO, YOLO, you only live once? And so they do the bungee cord, and they say, YOLO, and then they swing back, right? There's YOLO, right? That's YOLO. I thought of YODO, you only die once. Yeah, YODO. I thought it was cool, but you didn't, and that's okay. You only die once. You'll only die once. YODO. No. James, the half-brother of Jesus, needs some help. Y'all praying for me? Amen. James, the half-brother of Jesus, said, you know, life is a vapor. It's that quick. It's a light switch going on and off the light. That's how quick life happens, right? And he said, because we put so much emphasis on this side of eternity, on this side of eternity, where we're at right now, where I'm seeing you and me, right now, this side, and we don't put anything efforts towards the next part of our life, which will be forever. I used to think, you know, man, if I'm 50 years old, then, man, that's old. But I used to think that when I was like 16 and 20 years old. Now I'm 50 something, and now I think, you know, 70 something. I meet with a group of pastors, and there's some guys that are in their 60s, and I look at them and I joke with them. And they're I respect their age, and they're elders to me, but I kind of joke with them still. I kind of, you know, mess with them a little bit. I go, one day I'll have as much gray hair as you. You know, I joke with them like that. And then they look at me like this. They go, you're getting there. You're getting there. They look at me like, you're coming right behind me, because they know that life is a vapor. And just like I would look at a 20-year-old, you know, why is life taking? When I was 16, all I wanted was my driver's license. How about you? Remember the freedom, my own car one day, and I got my car, and I got my driver's license. And then, you know what else? And I couldn't wait to get out of high school. Remember that when you were 18? I can't wait till my senior year. It's going to be a party. It's going to be great, senior year. And then I graduated. And then I said, I can't wait till I get married. I told you about that a minute ago. I can't wait till I get married. I can't wait till I have kids. And then but one day I was 20, and then I was 30, and life is a vapor, and then I was 40, and now I'm 50-something. And life continues to go that route. Amen? Amen. And so life is a vapor. And so it goes by quickly. We're all living in our last, whether you're 15 in this room or you're 105 in this room or 115, we're all in our last days because life is that quick, isn't it? Amen. It is. Don't fool yourself today, amen? And so thank God for planning. And I don't want to discourage you for planning on this side of the earth, but plan with God and rely on God, amen? That's biblical, amen? Preaching better than their amen, but amen, I'll take it, choir. Choir's amen in me, amen. The hope that we have as Christians, the second thought is this, the rapture, living Christians, you and I in the next 5 moments, if the rapture were to happen, living Christians are taken away. There are 4 different beliefs about the rapture, and there's been much debate. And there's the pre-trib, the mid-trib, the post-trib, and the pan-trib. The pre-trib is this, we're going to be raptured before the great tribulation. Before there's famine, before there's pestilence, before all these wars, we're going, we're leaving. And I have to believe that, and that's where I'm going. Mid-trib is we get right in the middle, God rescues us. We don't see it all, we see some of it. Post-trib, of course, means after. You go through the whole deal. Let me know how that goes. I'll leave you my keys, amen, for the church. You can open it up for me, amen, because I'm going to be gone, amen, if you believe that today. And then there's pan-trib. Pan means it's all going to pan out, amen. They don't even want to mess with it. That's a joke, but you'll get it at 3 a.m. Go ahead. I need some help in this Baptist church today, amen. Matthew 20, you know the first service, they were so good. I don't know what was going on, amen. They had the Holy Spirit. Maybe they weren't so sad about the Spurs, amen. Matthew 24:39 says this, and this is what Jesus said about the coming. And this is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. 2 men will be in the field, and the other will be taken up, and 1 left. 1 guy's driving a car. Another guy's driving next to him at the spotlight, at the red light, and they go up. 2 women will be grinding. One's making tortillas, and the other one is making tortillas, and 1 gets taken up, and the other one's left making tortillas, right? And so you must always be ready, for the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect. And so as I look at this, Jesus is writing to the people that aren't at church this morning. Maybe, but he's probably writing to Christians, isn't he? Because the Bible is this book for Christians, and that's why the world doesn't understand it. So who's this for, this passage right here? For us today. And so it's not for the guy maybe watering his lawn or that just didn't, you know, had no relationship with God. It's for us that have relationship with God. And so this is something to take note. We need to be ready. This is serious. It's a serious, truthful event. And so in church right now, in the next 5 moments, you know, somebody's taken and then somebody's left behind. You know, so we need to look at it with that expectancy today. Paul continues to speak in our passage, and I unpacked it, not in your notes, but on the screen. It says 1 Thessalonians 4:17, and those that are still alive at the time will be gathered up with those that have died. Again, the rapture for Christians. And they will be taken up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And that word taken up, literally where I've underlined is this, it's a seizing, it's a rescuing. I'm grabbing you and I'm taking you and I'm rescuing you and I'm taking you away. Christians are going to fly? Yeah, we're going to fly. You know, I practice my rapture jumping. How about you? Amen. I'm on my tippy toes. Amen. See, I'm just trying to get a head start. You know, I want to beat some of y'all here on the front row. Amen. So are they really, you know, do we believe that? Yes, it's in the Bible. That's why I believe in the virgin birth. How could God be born of a virgin? I believe that. That's in the Bible. It takes faith, right? How could a dead man rise like Lazarus? I believe that because it's in the Bible. It takes faith to believe in that. So I believe that this word is, how could a dead God that died on the, how could a God die on the cross for me then rise from the dead? Because I believe that. And I believe that Christians are going to fly in the air. Amen? Because it's in the Bible today. Amen? I would hear these scary movies when I was growing up. And I grew up in that type of church. And you can show me the next slide. That they preached it hard about. And it was good for me because I needed some discipline. I'm probably a pastor this day because of my beginnings in Christianity.
So they were real, like, Holy Ghost. They were real Spirit-filled. And they would preach so hard that I would repent every Sunday and come to Jesus because I knew I was going to hell the way I lived. And I was living okay. I was going to Bible study like 3 times a week, and it was real just that way. And maybe you grew up in a church like that. Well, this movie came about in the 70s that was old already, but we got it. And I remember this church had gotten it because they were able to get the reel-to-reel back in the 70s. It wasn't VHS. It wasn't a Netflix. Amen. Well, we got to borrow it. They got it on Sunday morning, and we got the hand-me-ups. We got it Sunday night. So the pastor says, hey, we got this film. We're going to watch it, the big church, and they lent it to us on General McMullen. We were there at Victory Chapel, and they showed it to us, A Thief in the Night. And this movie plays out where it's kind of cheesy. You ever see those cheesy Christian movies? They're making them better now, thank God. Well, this is the one, you know, you could tell they cut the film and, you know, somebody's running and, you know, and then they next scene and it jumps. But it was just, it's still on YouTube, I think, if you want to watch it and, you know, put you to sleep maybe. It's good, no doze or whatever. And so this one portrays this woman that gets left behind. And these guys in ambulances called Unite, they're like the last day's force, the police force. And they're chasing down Christians that are left behind that didn't go because they weren't living right. And they put them in these ambulances and they take them to jail. And then the last scene is this. It's like this folk singer singing, two men in a field, one gets taken up, one gets left behind. You know, it's like that. They're playing folk song. And then at the very end, amen. I practiced on that. And then at the end, you know, they're showing that person marching off. They're coming out of their prison cell, and they're going to the guillotine because they said that you have to lose your head, 666, mark of the beast. And at the end, that song gets so intense. And I'm a teenager, man. I'm like, I don't want to get left behind. And it's doing all this stuff to me, and I don't want to get left behind. And the song keeps going, two men, and it goes, and you've been left behind. You've been left behind. And it's like, I don't want to be left behind. I remember I thought I was left behind. Remember that show Solid Gold? Well, it was back in the 70s, and it was like a disco show, and the Temptations were on or somebody. And I remember that was on TV, and I was supposed to be at Bible study on Friday. But I played hooky because I wanted to hang out and watch Solid Gold and do some other stuff. It was Friday. I'd been to school. And I remember I didn't go. And then I thought, I wonder how Bible study went. I've never missed. You know, it's my first time. And I called my buddies on the phone. Not like that. And I called them, and they weren't answering. They didn't answer. My buddies that gave me a ride. And then I said, well, certainly at the house that they had the Bible study. I know that number, Brother Tony and, Rachel, they're going to answer in Bristol Place off Ritterman Road. And I called them, and they didn't answer. And I thought, oh, no, at that moment, I was watching Solid Gold. The rapture came, and I got left. You've been left behind. I thought, I'm left behind. What am I going to do? I'm 16. I don't own a gun. What am I going to do? They're going to come after me. And finally, the next, like, morning, I called, and they answered the phone, and I knew the rapture hadn't happened. Aren't you thankful of that, that I'm still here? Amen. How many of you have ever been into that fad in the 70s? Remember the streaking? Remember, did anybody ever streak in here? No, you wouldn't admit it anyway. There are two types of people in this church right now. Those that are clothers and those that are nudies. And you either go to bed nudie or you go to bed with clothes on. And so those that go to bed with clothes on, can I see your hands? Just let's take a poll. You're a clother in bed. You go to bed. Look around. Those of you who aren't raising your hand, you ought to be ashamed of yourselves. I saw you, bro. Come on. Jesus spoke about that, about having clothes on. And he said this in Revelation, Jesus speaking 16:15 on the screen. Behold, I come like a thief. Blessed is the one that stays awake and keeps his clothes on, right? Is that what it says? Yeah. And so you may not go naked and be shamed. So always keep a nightshirt and some boxers near, right? You want to keep that near, amen. Hey, I had to keep you awake. So here, the final point is this. Number 3, we have a hope because of the return of Christ. There's a great reunion because Christians, Chinese Christians, Mexican Christians, Russian Christians, we're all going to be together. American Christians, we'll be together with God forever, right? Amen. Paul wants you to have, the Apostle Paul, the great Apostle Paul, the greatest Christian that ever lived. He said, I want you to have this expectancy for all ages. Not only my age that I'm living in, because Paul lived in a different age, but this 21st century, at Living Faith right now, he's speaking to us. This is the proper anticipation for the pending return of Christ that we should have. This could be the day. This could be the day. It could be the eastern skies open. Here he comes, and that's that sort of, here it comes, it's open, the clouds are open. Here comes Jesus, right? It's that sort of anticipation that Paul wrote about, and he wrote about it in 1 Thessalonians 4:17. It says, after this, this is that we are still alive at the time, we'll be gathered up with those that have died, and we'll be taken up to the clouds to meet the Lord in where? The air? And we'll be with the Lord forever. And so encourage, what does somebody say? Encourage each other. With these, it's supposed to be encouragement that we're living with the Lord forever. Because if we're living with the Lord forever, where God is, there is no headache. Where God is, there is no cancer. Where God is, there is no depression. There's no heartbreak. There's no divorce. There's no loneliness. There's no, as much as we need doctors and Tylenol, there's none of that because God is with us, right? And the Lord is with us today. And so Maranatha, it excited the early church. The Lord is coming. He's coming back again. Maranatha, listen to me. The Lord is coming back again, right? Encourage each other in those words today. And so if we're living in the last days, how should we live? Let's stockpile food like we did for Y2K. Let's put a bunch of bottled water in our closets. Let's get a bunch of ammo, guns. Let's get a panic room. Let's get generators, at least 20 of them, so we keep it going. And then if somebody comes to our door begging for food, in the name of Jesus, we shoot them. No. You're to encourage each other. You're to be the one at the end that is the one that's still living for God, amen, as a believer, and encourage each other that he's coming back again. If you see a brother and sister struggle in the family of God, Maranatha, he's coming again. I believe in healing. I've seen it happen in my life. How about you? But I've seen other people be healed, like Charles Moore and John Sprinkle. They're healed fully now. My father healed fully now. And where we point to heaven, he's going, you know what, Dad? I don't want you to come back. I'm going to go see you one day because you have it so much better than I do down here. Yeah. Yeah, he's coming back. We have this urgent message to proclaim, to encourage each other. There's some things that we need to get right. We got a message to preach to our brothers and sisters that aren't with us right now, that aren't living a son or daughter. Every time that you give, you preach. Every time that you serve, you preach. Every time that you give financially, you give because we're preaching to the four corners of the earth in this church, literally. You're giving and you're preaching the gospel. And so you're encouraging people. This good news will finally be preached and then the end will come throughout the whole earth. The end's going to come when the gospel's fully preached to every human being and they hear the good news in every part of the world. And you know, with technology, finally it's going to take place. We have the capability of putting something on a USB and taking a Bible college and plugging it into a computer and showing even a remote tribe. This is what God's all about, showing the Jesus film on a computer and showing it to people that have never heard the name of Jesus. It can be done in our lifetime. But every time that you live for God, you preach. Do you understand that today? In the small group that I'm at, that I told you about, with the other pastors that I meet with every Wednesday morning, an American pastor 30 years ago that was American left to Mexico, central Mexico, and he built a great church there. For 30 years, he's been there. And he came back, and he visits with us, and he tells us, after we tell them, you know what, it's a real challenge. Us that sit in the circle, the American pastors. It's a real challenge to get people to church on Sunday mornings. There's so many distractions. There's soccer games. There's things that draw people's attention away. There's games that stay real late at night and they can't come up because of something that happened Saturday. And the priority of coming to church, we say, how do we overcome that, pastors? And that pastor that's from Mexico that was once an American, now he's dual citizen, he says, you know what? I don't have that problem in Mexico because there's not so many distractions as you guys do have. My church is simple. They look forward to church because it's the highlight of their week. It's not the going to this celebration or that celebration. They come to church for their party. They come to their church for their hope. It's their community. They come. They don't miss one Sunday because they miss a lot when they miss one Sunday. He said, you know what? I wish I was a missionary back to America because you guys have it tough. I got it easy. The house is packed all the time because they're looking forward. And I think the American church has gotten so far away that we built heaven on earth for ourselves. And we have nothing to look forward to. We should look forward to heaven. This is good. Thank God we have American church and we have the blessing of resource in this country with a responsibility. You've been blessed so much so you can be a pipeline of blessing. Amen? Hey, Pastor, I'm still paying bills. I'm a student. I work 8 to 5. I'm in America. And this is why I leave you with this passage, the final scripture, 1 Corinthians 15:51. Why don't we read it together, this passage together? Are you with me? Read this first part together. Read this with me on three. One, it's in your handout, two. One, two, three. Listen, I tell you a mystery. But we will be changed in a flash, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. Then verse 54 says this, then saying that it is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? But thanks be to God. Here goes the path who gives us victory through our good works, through coming to church every Sunday, through tithing. No, through Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The blood of Jesus saves you. Therefore, this is what I do. This is what my life should be about. Real practical. Let's plug it in. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you stand firm. Let nothing move you. There's an intensity about you. I'm going to live for God with a bulldog face. I'm going to go forward. Nothing's going to move me. Always giving yourself to the work of the Lord. That means you serve God. You worship one and you. And Paul had it right, even for us in living faith, because you know that your labor is not in. And so how should I live? I should live with an intensity that what if you knew that Jesus was coming back next Friday? You don't. Or if he was coming back tomorrow, Monday, how would you live? How would your life change? What would you do? Well, you know, man, I wouldn't stop being lukewarm. I would really live for Jesus if I knew he's coming back tomorrow. I would put things aside that aren't priority, and I would focus in on the kingdom of God. So why don't we live like that today? That every day, Jesus, that I'm reaching towards higher things than the lower things of this earth, right? I live right. I begin to worship God. I reach more people in my lifetime. I'm serious about my commitment with God. When I get to this point, and we should all be at that point, I would witness to every family member that's far away from God. I would tell them, Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. Get right, get right, get right. I want to be with you again. How about you? That's the way you should live, right? Every grandchild, amen? Because our life counts for all of eternity. Maranatha, he's coming back again. Maranatha, Jesus is coming back again. He's coming back again, amen? Amen. I recently did a funeral. It's for a saintly woman, a Christian woman that I know is in heaven because of her testimony. I didn't know her personally, but what I read about her life, I knew that she was in heaven. And I've never had this experience. I was at the gravesite, and I laid my hand on the casket to give the final blessing before they poured the dirt on it and it lowered and so forth and the flowers. And I said, there's going to be a resurrection of this body. Ain't no grave gonna hold this body down. Amen. It's gonna happen. Amen. The return of Christ. So with great anticipation as believers in this church, Living Faith, we look forward to the coming of Christ. Amen. And we live differently than the world. Amen. Because we're not of this world today. Amen. Do you celebrate God's word with me today? because it's truth. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Let's bow and pray. Amen. Worship team, would you come up and help me dismiss? If you've lived like me, because I've gotten ready for this sermon all week long, and sometimes I've lived like Jesus isn't returning, like these aren't my last days, and I really have presented my life, even as a Christian, as a pastor, that this is what life's all about, man, the here and now. And I had to stir my passion again this day, this hour, to say, you know what? I need to devote myself more to the work of the Lord, because this life isn't what it's all about. There's a new day coming. And if that's you today, and you want to live with an intensity for Jesus, amen, would you just lift your hand slightly, amen, just above your lap today? I want to pray for you today. Father, I pray that we take heed to your word today, not as something that's fearful or scary, but a great respect and reverence for your word. We honor your word that's true today. We say yes to you, Lord, that we'll be ready. We'll do the things that you've called us to do, Lord, in our lifetime. We'll serve you with a full heart today and go forward today. We'll forgive because we need to forgive. Life's too short on this side not to forgive today. And thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your presence in our lives today. Thank you that you're healing everyone in this room today. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, God. As I continue to pray, and your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed today, there's a tension in your room, tension in your heart, your room, the room of your heart today. And it's the Holy Spirit that's tugging on you, because you know you don't have a genuine relationship with Christ. Jesus is coming back, and you need to be ready. And your life on this side needs to count. And so far it hasn't. You're far away from God. You've gone away from the things of God, and your life's not amounting to anything. You're so far away from God right now. You say, well, I'm in church today. You're not joining the church. You're coming back to Christ. You're calling upon the name of the Lord so you will be saved today. This is your moment. Saying, well, I'm good enough. You'll never be good enough. Your works, one thing that you do wrong will disqualify you. And every one of us in this room have done things wrong in this room. No one's perfect. That's why it took a perfect Savior like Jesus to die on the cross for your life that wasn't perfect. You take his debt payment for your sins today. You're with me right now on the screen, and you're watching it on your phone. The same counts for you. You need a Savior. You need Jesus. You need a prayer. You're a prayer away from your salvation today. You're in this room with me today. If your hand is lifted slightly, you're saying yes to Christ. You're saying yes to the Lord. In this room today, on the count of three, I'm not going to embarrass you, but I am going to see your hand today. Would you lift your hand slightly and say, that's me. I want to make sure today. If that's you, lift your hand. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. The three, four, amen, five, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, I see your hand. My brother, my sister, you can put it down. Amen. We pray this prayer out loud. Yes, about six people. My brothers and sisters that lifted their hand, we're going to join you. All the sinners that are saved by grace. If you lifted your hand, pray it out loud so you can hear it in your own ear right now. Let's pray this prayer together. Heavenly Father, forgive me of my sins. Wash me clean, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You sent your Son to die on the cross for all my sins. Thank you for a new beginning. I choose this day to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, Living Faith. We celebrate new life and Living Faith. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Amen. And amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And those on Facebook, if you receive Christ, let us know. Send us a private message if you have to. Email us. Let me bless you. Let's bless the church right now. Right now, lift your hand slightly. Amen. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. And may the Lord give you his peace. Amen and amen today. If you receive Christ today, there's a growing in faith class that happens at 9 a.m. that I want you to be part of. At 9 a.m. you could come to the church and just come to the second service. Amen. Make it an all-day thing. Come to Living Faith. Amen. Spend the whole morning with us. You need to be part of that class. I believe Diane Reese, is she... not here, amen. She'll meet you one day, amen. 9 a.m., be in the class. And then the connection card, we have those on our kitchen table. And Irma and I and our family, we meet a lot at our kitchen table because we love to eat like you. And so those prayer requests are there because we pray for you. We believe God for you. So if you have a prayer request, bring that to us, and we'll keep that with us and give it to one of our leaders or elders, and we'll pray and make sure we get those back. Amen. Let's receive our tithe and offering. Do you have your tithe ready? If you have it ready, you can hold it in your hand. There are several ways to give. They're on the screen today. They're on Facebook too. And let's hold those. I want to thank the Lord for a generous church. We're doing things that were impossible just a year ago, and now they're not, because God is moving in our church. And thank God for the generosity of God's people. That moves the hand of God and moves us here. Thank you, Lord. We believe that we'll be debt-free as a church. Amen. Would you agree with that? And that debt-free living will transfer to your life, and you'll be debt-free. We believe that. All the sons and daughters, hold your tithe and your offering in your hand. Father, I thank you for the generosity. We give, we bring it back to you, Lord. You've been so good to us. And then, Lord, we love our church, and so we're generous in that regard too. Bless the tithe and bless the offering. Thank God. Thus saith the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Would you stand and worship with me? Amen. As we sing the songs of faith. I'll see you tonight. Amen.